life can get pretty complicated. In the Simply Practically Human podcast, Mark Lebusque talks to incredible humans to see the way forward more clearly through the complexity in the world and in our heads. Let's get ready to thrive.
Hey, g'day there, fellow humans. Mark Lebusque here for the Simply Practically Human podcast, the Friday short, sharp, self-indulgent edition of the podcast. And again, thanks to those who have been giving me some feedback, a little bit of via email or on LinkedIn, or even at times a little review. Not that there's many reviews on Apple Podcasts. I love a few more, but just on what you're taking out of all the podcasts, but particularly these ones I've been doing of a Friday. And I'd like to keep them short and sharp. Today's one, I want to explore something here that I've involved myself in at times. And also in my work today, I see just a pattern of this starting to emerge in conversations. In conversations, usually when I'm doing what I call the provoking with purpose work, this little thing seems to just raise its head at a particular point on a particular topic. And I want to dig into that a bit today and sort of have a look at where does it come from? Where does it show up? And how do you combat it when this starts to happen? So without much further ado, let's get into it. So let me paint a scenario for you. I'm working with a group of human beings and we're talking about good stuff, about things that are going well. Even though we tend to go towards the negative, there are times when we can pull ourselves out of the bad news filing cabinet, jump into the good one and talk about the good stuff. And the language that I hear when those conversations are going on is pretty much predicated with words like this: we, us, I, team. I hear things like, you know, the great corporate words, collaborate and innovate, and some of these words as well, all sort of upbeat, up-tempo words, which is very nice. Very nice to hear that at times, hear that we human beings can at times get caught in the good stuff. And then I want to go to the bad. And it's really interesting that when we get into the bad side of things, there are what I call the mythical creatures of, whether it's just the work world or outside the work world, these mythical creatures turn up. And I really take my time to allow people to dig themselves into the bad side of things, because I know it usually takes 5 minutes, or sometimes it can take 10 minutes, but all of a sudden, these mythical creatures appear from the deep. And what are they? I call them the mythical creatures of them and they. That's right, them and they. All of a sudden, I start to hear about these creatures. They did it, or it was them, or they did it to us, or they weren't good enough, or they didn't listen, or what about them? What are we going to do about them? It's always them. And I love it when we get to that point, because when I raise the topic of the mythical creatures, all of a sudden, I reckon for quite a few people in the room, they get this look on their face like, oh, fuck, he's onto us here. The game's up. And I just want to get into this topic today, because I think that it's very easy for us to look outwards at them and they, and I say get involved in what we call the culture of blame. Very, very easy to go there. And I just want to start with where does it come from? Where does this predisposition to go to them and they come from? It sort of builds up, but it's almost like it's an escape mechanism. It's a way for us to take the heat off ourselves and step into what are our hardwired instincts to survive. So I think the first one that comes from our survival tendencies, our survival mechanisms, our need to make ourselves feel safe. So in order to feel safe, if something's going to shit, what you're not going to say usually is I. You might put a bit of us in there and a bit of we, didn't quite get it right. But when it really goes to shit, the mythical creatures turn up. Ah, it was them. It's always them, or they made us do it. They told us to do it. I didn't think it was a good idea, but they said that was the policy. That was the process. That was what we're going to do. So basically what you're doing for yourself is you're taking the heat off yourself and stepping into, let's call it your little safe spot, where you can stand back a bit and see the others who are now in the firing line of the danger that may come their way, of the consequences of something not going quite right. You've been able to step out of that. That's the first one, the survival mechanism, which really rolls us into, it is an easy way out. It's almost like I've tried everything else to get myself out of this, but it doesn't seem to be working, particularly in this purposeful provocation piece, because I keep asking the question of, you know, so what's really happened here? And then when people are really starting to feel like they may be getting cornered and getting trapped, the easy way out is to start to talk about the mythical creatures of them and they, which really gets into the what I think is a lack of accountability. So it comes from our need to survive. It comes from us looking for an easy way out. And it comes from a lack of accountability. Although, you know, we all like to say we're accountable, the moment we start to talk about them and they, we are talking about transferring the accountability to them and they. So there you go. And then where does it show up? Well, usually shows up in a conversation about something that's gone horribly wrong, but it doesn't show up straight away because I reckon human beings are reasonably clever. They won't go straight to the them and they. They'll find a way to skirt around that. And I sort of said they'll be into the we and the us and not necessarily the I. We don't want to put the I in there because that puts us right in the gun. But it'll take a little bit of time before they get to the them and they. But when they go there, that's when everyone jumps in. It's really interesting. It only takes one person to usually bring up the mythical creatures, the two T's, them and they, and all of a sudden everyone else gets on the bandwagon because it's very, very easy. It's a very easy way to get out of it. It's a very easy way to hold on to your fixed mindset that when something goes wrong, that we need to run 100 miles away from it and we need to get out of there quickly, rather than if something doesn't go right, maybe that's something for us to learn from if we embraced our growth mindset. But the them and they types are usually stepping at that stage into their fixed mindset. And when you're in there, you really can't see the good in something that hasn't quite gone right. So when we start to feel threatened, we're going to go to them and they. When we start to feel hard done by, we start to go to them and they. When we start to feel like the spotlight has been turned on us, we start to go to them and they. You know, lots of examples, and them and they's interestingly works at all levels. So if we think about it looking upwards with them and they, it'll be usually around a strategy or the plan, the business plan or whatever it might be. It's usually about a bigger picture item that, you know, they've told us we have to do that. It was them. We didn't really have any say. That sort of stuff starts to come up. When we look at it, when we're looking downwards, it's usually more transactional things. So smaller things that may go wrong, yeah, they didn't really know what they were doing. They didn't ask for directions. They just went ahead and had a go and it went wrong. And now I've got to clean up the mess. Yeah, it's always them. They can't quite do the thing they need to do. And then I've got to come back in. And this is the old clean up the mess, which makes me feel good, gets me out of my, I think, self-imposed potential to be caged, locked away, in danger in some way. So it's much easier to blame someone else. Let me just talk a little bit now about how people pile onto this. I mentioned it before, but it's just really interesting to watch when people get a sniff of them and they, it's almost like an invitation and permission to join the party. And that party is a bit of a pity party because it's a nice way for people to get themselves out of the firing line by, I guess, hunting in numbers in identifying and outing the mythical creatures. And when one gets in, the second gets in, and you're usually going to find by 2 or 3 minutes in, you've pretty much got everyone on, except there might always be someone in the room who might challenge that. But interestingly, when that person starts to challenge, well, is it really them and they, or are we part of this as well? What tends to happen is that person starts to be getting the old them and they. Yeah, they always say that. They always have a different opinion. It's always them that doesn't quite agree with where we're at, even though we're all agreeing as a group that it was them and they. Those who try and use them and they as a way to protect themselves will actually look to push it onto somebody else. It's always someone else's fault. Always someone else who has done the thing. So I'm sure you've seen this. I'm sure you've participated in it as well, because I know I have. It's always been easy, particularly when there might be a big decision, a new rollout, a new plan or something like that. And one of the greatest ways to do it is, you know, I don't really agree with them and what they have said we've got to do, but here's where we're going. Now, I think if you're going to have that conversation, you don't have it with your people. You have it with the people that have made the decision, because I reckon it's pretty gutless if you're sitting there and you're nodding your head in agreement and then you go to your people and say, it's them, they've done it again, or they want me to do this and I really don't want to do it, but I have to do it because it's this where we're going. I don't agree with it, but you haven't had the conversation. I think that's piss weak. So let's talk now about when things do go wrong, or when things aren't going all that well and you've started to get some ideas in your head about what needs to be done about it, but you don't say anything. So I bring up the notion now of the crystal ball, because no one has a crystal ball. And I've had a lot of conversations about this recently, where when people have started to go down the rabbit hole and the pity party of them and they, one of the things I'll ask them is, did you say anything about it? Did you say anything about it to the mythical creatures that you mentioned? The them and the they. And they're like, oh, no, I didn't really say it. I didn't think I should. There wasn't the right time. I wasn't sure what sort of response I was going to get. So there's a whole lot of things that get said, a whole lot of excuses as to why someone doesn't step into their leadership and speak up. And then my response to that is very much, well, how are they supposed to know? Unless, of course, they've got a crystal ball. Now, I don't see too many people walking around in the workplace or in the world with the crystal ball that they can look into and go, well, I know what Mark's thinking and he's not very happy, and so I should go and have a chat to him. What really needs to happen is, rather than Mark bitching and moaning about them and they, he needs to instigate the conversation, whether it's with the people that report to him, whether it's with the people he reports to, or maybe it's with his peers. Nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody knows the thoughts that are going on in your head. And it's not up to them to try and work that out. If you have a problem and you're going to start to get involved in the crazy notion that it is them and they, you've got to voice it up. You've got to say something. You've got to find your voice, share your opinion. That's where leadership comes in. Not hiding it, maybe having conversations in the dark or in the front of the water cooler, wherever it might be. You need to bring it up, because if you don't bring it up, and you keep saying it's them and they, well, I'd have to start to question why them and they have put you in a position that you're in. Also think about this. Them and they, just like you, are human beings. And I'm going to make an assumption that 99.95% of those human beings turn up with a good intention in the decisions that they make. And they also have a sense that because they are human, at times things won't go exactly to plan. So thinking about the mindset of the decisions that people are making, rather than thinking that they're making decisions to piss you off and to destroy the business or to destroy relationships or a customer experience or an employee experience, if you're going around with that idea back again to the fixed mindset, well, you will have created yourself a zoo full of mythical creatures, them and they. But if you start to look at it in a different way and say to yourself, well, I think they turn up with good intention like I do, and they don't have a crystal ball, perhaps you'll take it in a different way. And rather than saying them and they, you'll go and have a conversation. So these are the ways to combat it. don't assume that people have a crystal ball. Do assume positive intent or good intention and have conversations that need to be had. Don't go away and hold on to things and then wait for your opportunity where there's a bit of a check-in, particularly when them and they aren't in the room, because this is the other point. The other way to combat it is to bring it up in the room. Now, I know that it needs to feel safe to do so, and that's also a great excuse, but also sometimes a valid reason that people don't feel safe enough. But until you bring something up, people aren't going to know. But the easy thing to do is to keep blaming and use the culture of blame that it's somebody else. It's your manager. It's the CEO. It's the executive team. It's the people that work for me that haven't got the experience that they should have. I don't know why I hired them in the end. It's all of those stories that you create that allow you to step away from taking some of the responsibility and offloading it to others so you can feel safe, so you can find an easy way out, and so you can take that lack of accountability that I think you need to start to hang on to a bit more. For those who don't use the them and they and go more down the lines of, I have something to do with this, I guess my final thoughts are these, and again, the short, sharp one for today, is the great term that was once shared with me when I was doing a bit of them and they about 8 years ago. I had a leadership challenge, and just like anyone else, I started to work through it, and what was coming up for me was that the problem was them, the problem was they, the problem wasn't me, and I was asked the same question 6 times. And I think you may have heard this question from me before, but it's one that sticks with me and sticks in my mind and one that I ask myself a lot. It doesn't mean that I always ask myself this question straight away, but it's a good way to get away from using the them and they and getting it more back to I. And the question came from Professor Marty Linsky. Again, I've spoken about Marty before, an amazing human being who, as I started to get into the pity party, and the blame culture, and unearthing the mythical creatures of them and they, he asked me a simple question, which was, what's your part in the mess, Mark? And I think I might have said something like, no, it's not me, you don't understand. And then he asked me the question again. And I think stupidly again, I started to argue the point a bit, but you don't understand. So he asked me the question again. And I think it was about the 6th time that he asked me that question of what's your part in the mess, that the message started to get through, that here's the thing. And I say this to people all the time, and this is what I'll wrap this short, sharp one off on today, is that my final thoughts are this, that I was them and they, that you are them and they, and that we're all them and they. So when things aren't going as well as you'd like them to go, you're part of it. You're part of the mess. You can't be apportioning the blame to others because it's the easy way out. It's an easy way for you to survive and you can step away from your accountability. So just remember that. You are them and they. So there you go. This is short and it is sharp, but I wanted it to be a bit punchy today because it's not, I want you to go away and maybe think a little bit about when you've unearthed the mythical creatures and why did you do it? Or when you're hearing other people do that, do you remain silent? Or do you bring it up? Because I think if you're going to really step into your leadership, if you're going to step into the simplicity and practicality of that human approach to leadership, you've got to ask the question, who is them and they? And if you don't include yourself in that, I'd suggest you start to do so. So there you go. Hey, if you love this one, again, I said at the start today, would love to see a few more comments, what you think about it. Give us a 5-star rating. If you liked it, share it with your friends. Maybe you could play this one in a group meeting and just have a listen and then have a bit of a conversation about when do we tend to go down the them and they path versus when we go down the we, us and I path. Because the more that you can step into understanding your part in the mess, the more effective you'll be as a human being and the more effective you'll be as a team of human beings. But until next time, keep it simple, keep it practical, and keep it human. Bye for now.